All Things Are Possible, Part 22. Now, our foundational scriptures have been throughout this entire study, which I might as well tell you that I really thought it was only going to be like three or four teachings long, but it's turned out to be a month-long study. And we'll continue probably through the end of this month. Mark 10:27. Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. That's Mark 10:27. Then Jesus also said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believes. So it's a combination of God, because he is the source, and us believing that all things become possible unto us. So we also have been focusing on this scripture in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, have faith in God, for assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and this is the phrase we've looked at strongly throughout this entire study, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So we must not doubt in the heart or in the spirit in order to believe and get results. So Jesus made not doubting in the heart a central issue in order to believe. And we've looked at what the word doubt means, that it means wavering and hesitation. It includes fear and anxiety. See, and this is very important because it's inside this definition of the word doubt itself. It includes indecision, being irresolute, unresolved, and harboring questions of doubt concerning the promises of God. And we saw that inside doubt, there is also strife and unforgiveness. It can definitely be a part of doubt. And then we studied for a few days on another huge heart issue, which is pride, that has to be corrected in order for faith to produce. And I recommend that you go back and study all of these, because these will open your eyes to some issues of the heart. And we looked at pride versus humility. And the reason that humility is so powerful in faith. And we talked about that. And we're going to see some more now today in the next few days. And I know all of this is a tall order. You know, it may wear some people out just to think about all the garbage that's in their lives that needs to be removed. If we're not to doubt, but believe according to the words of Jesus, and you just might throw your hands up and give up and say, well, I give up. It's just too much. I can't do that. Well, why have we been teaching all of this? Is it to weigh you down or condemn you or may make the thing so doggone difficult that nobody could do it? No, absolutely not. Actually, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30, Jesus said, learn from me, talking about himself, that I'm meek and humble. And he said, take my yoke upon you and my burden, for my yoke is light, or my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's a different kind of burden and yoke that Jesus offers to us. It's not a heavy burden or a yoke of bondage, because we know we're delivered from those. Isaiah 10:27 says that the anointing will destroy the yoke and remove the burdens. It's talking about the bad burdens and the bad yokes. But Jesus said his yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's not difficult. But our purpose in this teaching is not to make your life hard or difficult. No. Our purpose in teaching all of this is not to condemn you or to make your Christian walk a burdensome walk at all. what are we doing in this? Well, it's been a process of identifying the roadblocks of faith, the issues of the heart that function against your faith, and locating yourself so that you see where you are in your faith. I'll tell you what else we're doing is we're answering the question that so often is posed by religion and lame tradition when they say, well, I prayed and nothing happened, and, you know, maybe God didn't want me to have it, and all those foolish, ignorant sayings that people that don't know God spout out their mouth. Well, these studies are showing us that we can't blame God for unbelief in our hearts in any way. Jesus said that the reason for not receiving was unbelief. He said, you remember when the disciples came to him and said, why could we not heal this boy or cast out this devil? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Well, James said the same thing in James chapter 1, and we've studied that. And you can go back and listen to all of these teachings and hear all of these marvelous truths. Well, if you were by yourself in all of this, then frankly, it would be impossible to function in the faith of God. But you remember our opening scripture, with God, all things are possible. There's no way to do any of these things without God's help. But thank God, if you're a believer and you're in Christ Jesus and you have the Spirit of God in you, and especially if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, well, you don't have to be without God's help. You can have His help every day, all the time. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, the Bible says, and we can say boldly, He is our helper. Hallelujah. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Now go read it and study it. But the truth is, you'll never have a vibrant faith without the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God coming alive in you. And we're going to be discussing this real soon, because it takes the union of the Word and the power of the Spirit at work in us for us to develop in faith, and for us to take our place in the faith of God. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. It's going to take the Spirit of God, the anointing, the Word. Amen. That's all a part of it. But like I said, we're pointing out these things that are issues of the heart that are roadblocks to having a powerful and productive faith. And now here's another one. This is a big hindrance or heart issue that must be dealt with if we're not to doubt in the heart, but believe, and that is fear or being afraid, and its twin sister, worry, and its cousin, anxiety. Now, what is fear? Now, you probably think you have some kind of an idea what is fear, and you know what is fear. On some level, you may know it even deeper than that. But here's what Webster's Dictionary says is the meaning of fear. And it's right in line with Scripture, so it's very, very good. And it really brings out some things to our understanding. Listen to this. Fear is a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil. Did you notice that? It expects evil. Well, what's faith? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And one translation says that faith is the substance of things that you expect. Because the definition of true Bible hope is expectation of something good. Well, fear is the opposite of that. It's the expectation of something evil. Because I'm going to say to you, fear is the exact opposite of faith in so many ways. Now, what else is fear according to Webster's? It's the apprehension of impending danger. Fear expresses less apprehension than dread, and dread less than terror and fright. The force of this passion, beginning with the most moderate degree, may be thus expressed: fear, dread, terror, fright. Fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. Now, did you notice that that expectation of evil just kind of goes through the entire definition? And I wanted to read this to you, because I'm going to read to you now a scripture from the Amplified Bible that almost sounds like this definition of fear that we just got done reading. Luke chapter 21. Now, open your Bible to Luke chapter 21, and I'm going to read verses 25 and 26 from the Amplified Bible. Now, I'm telling you, folks, this is the condition of the human race without God today. And unfortunately, it's also the condition in which some Christians operate, because they don't know they've been delivered from fear. They don't know that Jesus paid an awesome price to deliver us from fear and the fear of death. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. I mean, he paid the price so that we'd be free from fear, just like he paid the price so that we'd be free from sickness and disease and from sin and from bondage and poverty. He also paid the price so that we'd be redeemed and free from all fear. Now, don't believe what the world says, that fear can be good. That's a lie. There is no such thing as a good kind of fear. It just doesn't exist. Fear is of the devil. It's of the enemy, and it's opposed to faith, and it's opposed to trust, and it's opposed to believing God's word, and it's opposed to anything that's in God. Now, don't confuse the wrong kind of fear with the fear of the Lord. Now, that's a good kind. Now, that actually means, if you'll study it, it means to be in reverence and awe and to honor and respect God and his word. It does not mean the same kind of fear that the world suffers from, the fear of death and the fear of the devil. Now watch this in Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. Are you ready for this? Listen to it from the Amplified Bible. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars. Now, this is talking about the signs of the end, what will be happening in the earth and what will be the reaction of the nations and of the peoples without God. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars. And upon the earth, there will be distress. Did you get that word, distress? Trouble and anguish of nations, in bewilderment and perplexity. And do you know what it says here in the Amplified? Without resources, left wanting, embarrassed, in doubt, not knowing which way to turn. And I'm telling you, if that doesn't describe the condition that people are in today, I don't know what does. That is like an exact description, not just of the word fear, but of the condition of the planet today, and how people are without resources and going through depression and going through doubts and not knowing which way to turn and suffering want, huh? And it says, at the roaring, the echo of the tossing of the sea. And I mean, just over the last few years, there have been tremendous tossings of the sea, like what happened in Indonesia in that tsunami. And then the tsunami that happened not too long ago, this year, 2011, in Japan. And all of the earthquakes and all of the junk that's going on this planet. And then it says, men swooning away and expiring, that means dying, with fear and dread and apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming upon the world. For the very powers of heavens, of the heavens, will be shaken and caused to totter. Now, I'm telling you, that's almost identical, an identical description to what Brother Webster, yeah, he was a brother in the Lord, he was a believer, said in his dictionary that the word fear meant. And did you notice that it said men swooning away or expiring with fear? Actually, the Greek text mentions men's heart failing for fear. You know, and it's happened over and over again. People having heart attacks and dying because of fear and anxiety and not knowing what to do and sudden fears and worry and distress and perplexity and bewilderment. And have you ever heard I believe it's called sudden death syndrome, where people, because of fear and worry and anxiety, all of a sudden they die. And it's been recognized I think that's the one that they talk about when it's talking about children, little babies. But then there's another one that I'm trying to remember if this is the exact name. If it's not, that's okay. You can correct me. Send me an email or something. But the one that has become prominent in many places in the world, but specifically I remember reading about it happening in Japan, excessively in Japan. I'm not going to say I'm going to leave that alone. But now you stop and think about it, where people have all of a sudden died in Japan because of the fear and the worry and the anxiety, just drop over dead. Many of them in their 20s and 30s and 40-year-olds just dropping over, their heart exploding because of fear, their heart failing because of fear of what's coming on the world. Well, I'm telling you, this portion of Scripture sounds like this dictionary definition we've been looking at, and this is the way that the world lives and functions every day. Fear drives them, it controls them, and it finally kills them. But thank God, not us. We're not to live that way. We're not to allow fear to drive us or control us. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, you should be standing on that every day of your life. Bless God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, thank God. Well, God's not given us the spirit of fear or of cowardice or dread or timidity, as it says in other versions. And the Amplified says here in 2 Timothy 1:7, craven and cringing and fawning fear. We've not received that kind of spirit. We've received the spirit of power and of love, and of a sound mind. And that's what you should be believing today in the name of Jesus. Now, Webster goes on to say and tell us that fear is the passion of our nature, which excites us to provide our security on the approach of evil. Now, tomorrow I'll say some more about that, because there's definitely a whole lot that we need to say here in Jesus' name. Amen.